the Order of Healing is literally a manual to how your body works. And you don't have to be a scientist, and you don't have to be a doctor, you don't have to be a chemist in order to understand these basic things. And they are really basic, right? Like, health is easy. Disease is complicated. And so if you learn how to heal your body, you'll learn how to prevent disease. This is the Gutsy Health Podcast, your go-to destination for uncomplicated, practical, and affordable tools for your wellness education with Jeannie Grover. Are you ready to become a self-healing champion? Let's go. Hey, everybody. Welcome back to the Gutsy Health Podcast. Gina, I wanted to ask you a question because I think this is a really, I swear this is all going to tie in to the rest of the podcast, but did you know I was a college dropout?
I had no idea.
Really?
Except, well, you did tell me that you started your program, but then with Tristan's health issues, you couldn't finish, right?
No. So here's the thing is like, I went to college and I dropped out of college because...
I did not know that.
Yeah, I dropped out. This is when I first met Tristan and married Tristan, and I dropped out of college because I didn't feel called to finish my... I was in laboratory science, biochemistry and laboratory science or something like that. And I was like, this doesn't feel right. And so I dropped out of college and I never went back finished.
I had no idea. This is so fun. I'm learning something new about you today.
The reason why I'm sharing this is because today we're talking about the science of healing, and we're going to be talking a lot about becoming your own healing advocate and becoming an expert in your healing. And it doesn't take much. And it truly doesn't take a college degree. It doesn't. It literally just takes tenacity and like wanting to learn it. And I wanted to share that with everyone because I never finished my college degree. I went to finish my nutrition degree. There was a nutrition certification that was 3 years. I never finished that just because Tristan's health deteriorated. We still managed to create the Gutsy Academy. I still managed to train coaches. I still run Provo Health. I still do all of these things. And I didn't need letters behind my name. I didn't need certificates. I didn't need fancy credentials. I just needed a lot of grit. And so I wanted to start this podcast because as we talk about the science of healing and as we talk about the order of healing, I want you guys to understand that this is stuff everyone is entitled to know. Everyone is entitled to learn. Like, this is the order of healing is literally a manual to how your body works. And you don't have to be a scientist, and you don't have to be a doctor, you don't have to be a chemist in order to understand these basic things. And they are really basic, right? Like, health is easy. Disease is complicated. And so if you learn how to heal your body, you'll learn how to prevent disease. And so it really is that simple. A lot of people, I never want anyone to put a doctor on a pedestal or me on a pedestal or whoever you put on a pedestal, because you really should put yourself up there, because really is not hard, not complex. And you deserve to feel good in your body. You deserve to understand how you got here in the first place. And I hope that you haven't yet encountered a doctor that has made you stupid for wanting to research it on your own. I think I've met hundreds of people and I've heard thousands of stories where doctors have really put people down and mocked them or scorned them even for wanting to learn about how their body works and wanting to learn root causes. They have felt dumb and they've felt stupid, and you should never feel dumb or stupid. You should never work with someone that makes you feel that. And so today we're going to talk about the science of healing. So Gina, take it away.
Well, I love this so much, because when I first met you, there was something that I was really sitting with when I discovered the functional medicine world. And I was like, oh, this is so cool. Functional medicine gets to root causes, right? It's not like conventional medicine where I think the problem with conventional medicine is that we go to conventional medicine doctors to heal our deeper issues around that could be supported with nutrition and these things that these doctors are not trained to do. And so then we move into the functional medicine world, which is like, okay, now they're looking for like root causes instead of masking issues with medication or just kind of managing things with medication. But the one common theme that I saw from people seeing functional medicine doctors was this feeling of like overwhelm, of like, I'm taking a ton of supplements. We're all over the place. We're fixing my hormones. We're fixing my gut. We're trying to correct my skin issues. It comes from like a root cause place, but people feeling so overwhelmed. And I think that that's where, I'm not a functional medicine doctor, but I work with a lot of people who are having all these issues. And the common theme was like, I am so overwhelmed, or people who are not even working with those doctors yet. And they're just like, I'm so overwhelmed in my healing. And so what was so amazing is when I met you, you were like, I've got this roadmap. I want to show it to you. And I looked at your roadmap and I was like, this is genius. Aww. I wish I would have thought of this. You and Tristan had this mapped out roadmap of the order of healing that guides people through step by step. And I was like, it makes so much sense. Everything that you have is based in science that actually takes the world of functional medicine, which can feel complex. It can feel all over the place. You're chasing all these different symptoms, and you put it in an order that is almost like dominoes. Like, you're hitting the big things that affect everything else. And I was like, the world needs to do this. You need to share this with the world, because you have taken this complexity and simplified it into a roadmap that actually makes sense and is based in science. And now it's so cool. Like, I've watched you implement this with people, and the people who have struggled for many, 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 many years in the health world now are seeing huge, incredible health changes. It's incredible.
Not bad for a college dropout.
I was so impressed when I saw your thing. I was like, it's genius. Aww. It's science. It's like, you. Oh my gosh, it has the depths of science, but also like the core components. I'm just so blown away. So I'm actually really excited that we're going to share with people here. We're going to like spill the secrets of your roadmap that you carefully crafted and put together, and be able to explain so that hopefully listeners can hear this and say, like, that makes a lot of sense. No wonder why I don't know where to begin. I don't know. My adrenals are shot. My hormones are all over the place. I have brain fog. I have skin issues. I'm bloated. Like, where do I even begin? That's probably the number one thing that we hear. And so I hope that we can break down the science of each step, so it's like, oh my gosh, that makes a lot of sense. Now I know exactly where I need to start.
You know, and what's interesting too, is if you are working with an expert that is overwhelming you, they're giving you a bunch of supplements and they're giving you a bunch of protocols. One, you need to be able to determine what those are doing for my body, and are we going at the right pace? Because to be honest, like your functional medical doctor or whoever you're working with, they're just guessing. They actually don't know your body. And so what we want you to understand at the end of this podcast is, or have a little bit of an understanding, is what order are they trying to heal my stuff in? And if it's not matching the order, maybe they're going too fast for me and I'm potentially be wasting my time and my money. Right? So let's start from the beginning. And this one catches everyone off guard, because we'll go to doctors and we'll want to solve our problems through supplementations and protocols and all these things. But what we really don't realize is that we have to have a mindset change first, because the brain really governs the body and what to do. And so if you're chronically in fight or flight all the time, if you're chronically releasing cortisol into your bloodstream and your system, if you have subconscious beliefs that are really sabotaging any efforts you're trying to heal, you're not going to heal. So you can try and give your power away through supplements and through foods and through doctors, but you're going to fall short every time, because you'll find that you go two steps forward, two steps back, two steps forward, two steps back. But if you really nail the mindset piece, if you really learn to deconstruct the mindset and reconstruct it again to be in a state of health and healing, to get your brain on board for healing, to get your cortisol levels down, and to get your anti-inflammatory hormones, then you'll find that healing is in flow, and that it's kind of like just floating down a river versus trying to swim up a river, right? Like, your body will work for you instead of against you. I always think of it like, if you get your mindset on track, if you get your brain to be in a state of healing, then it's like pushing a boulder downhill versus trying to muscle through healing protocols, trying to muscle through food protocols, trying to muscle through supplements. That's like pushing a boulder uphill. So utilize your brain power, utilize your mindset to really set the stage and the temperature for the rest of your body. You have to, you cannot bypass this. And what I love in the Gutsy Academy, when we teach this course and we teach this concept, everyone, almost everyone in the course, throughout the course, are like, man, I keep having to go back to mindset because I realize how I'm sabotaging this, or I have to go to mindset because I realize how this is interconnected with this. And I have to go to mindset because I can see X, Y, and Z. And so, yes, they learn the protocols and they learn the products and they watch all the course material and understand the rest of the order of healing. But so many people realize, gosh, mindset is just so important. And no one taught me this, and everything is finally clicking.
And some of what we don't even like realize it, like we might not even see it, but sometimes it's like kind of hidden. So if you feel like you've been doing your health protocols or you've been wanting to change, but you almost feel like a resistance or a self-sabotage, sometimes there's like a deeper underlying belief that's actually driving that self-sabotage. And so some things that our students have realized was, oh, I didn't even know, but I had this hidden belief that I wasn't worthy of health, or that I didn't actually believe that my health conditions would change. And so that belief was actually driving me to self-sabotage. Or I grew up with the belief that taking care of yourself is selfish. And so it was amazing. We had the opportunity to have master belief coach Britt Lefko work with our students and provide our trainings on belief work to help people find these little hidden things of where do we think that we're not worthy? Where do we create resistance and self-sabotage? And once you get those things aligned and out of your way, then it's like you said, it's like the boulder going downhill. Now you have momentum. So it's been really cool to see people say, oh, when I'm stuck in my health for years, it was actually the mindset piece that gave me the momentum.
Before we move on to mitochondria, I want to share a really powerful example of myself. After Tristan was diagnosed with cancer, I went into complete sympathetic dominance and I started burping a lot and I started having extreme heartburn. And so learning what I did about digestion, I started taking and if people understand hydrochloric acid and all that stuff, because I was in sympathetic dominance, my stomach started producing stomach acid. So I would have to supplement 7 hydrochloric acid pills per meal. That is an enormous amount. But when I got my nervous system regulated again, I stopped taking digestive enzymes. I was taking about 10 digestive enzymes per meal and about 4 per snack just to digest my food, because my brain was completely offline for my digestion, almost entirely dependent on digestive enzymes to get me through the day and to help me digest my food. But once my brain was back on board again and I was out of sympathetic dominance, didn't have to touch another digestive enzyme again. And so that's the power of the mind, going from 1.5 years of like just eating digestive enzymes like candy to not using them at all, literally just took a shift in my nervous system and my mindset. So don't bypass mindset. If you find that you're doing the 2-step forward, 2-step back dance, you could be bypassing mindset. So always go back to mindset. Number 2 is mitochondria. And it's the, like to us, it's like one of the sexiest parts of healing the body, and it doesn't get enough spotlight. And so Gina, explain to people what the mitochondria is and why we love it so, so much.
We love mitochondria because everyone should know about them. It should be the household name, right? It's like the engines, the powerhouse of your cells. So it basically, your cells have hundreds to thousands of mitochondria in almost every single cell in your body. And what those mitochondria do is they take the food that you eat, your carbs, your fats, and your proteins, and it's like an engine. It takes that food and it turns it into energy in the form of ATP. ATP is like our body's money currency. And so if you have healthy mitochondria, your cells in your body are doing a great job at taking your food, turning it into energy, and powering up your cells, like your brain, your liver, your heart, your muscles. Like it is just powering and creating life in your whole body. If those mitochondria get damaged or they don't have the nutrients that they need to work well, then they won't be able to take your food and turn it into energy. So this is like why it is the foundation. If we're building a house, it is like the strong walls, the concrete at the bottom. It's like the core of everything. So when we see people who are not addressing their mitochondria, they might not be taking their food very well and turning it into energy. So what ends up happening is when you do a protocol, like you start trying to detox or try to do these things that are very demanding of your energy, you might feel exhausted and tired and your metabolism slows down. Your body can't turn your food into energy. Instead, it stores it as fat and you're feeling tired. So it's really critical for all of your organs to be able to get fueled up and for your body to work properly, like your brain and your heart and your liver and your gut and your digestive tract. But what's cool is simple lifestyle things can influence how well those mitochondria work, mm-hmm. right?
Yes. Like the mitochondria are kind of like these prima donnas. They're very sensitive to stress and external stressors, like from the environment. And so you have to be very, very gentle with them. Things like artificial light, things like not seeing enough natural sunlight, things like not grounding outside, all these things can either damage or like energize your mitochondria and cause them to anti-age. Because it's interesting, you could be a 30-year-old walking around with 50-year-old mitochondrial function, meaning your mitochondria have aged so much that they are as you are a 50-year-old. And a lot of people be like, man, I feel like I'm 60. I feel like I'm 50 and I'm only in my 30s. Well, this is a direct reflection of mitochondrial function and mitochondrial health. How I like to see the mitochondria, like I want to use your analogy of like repairing a house. And you mentioned like the bricks and the tools. If your house has been completely destroyed and you need to remodel it, the mitochondria aren't really the materials. They are the money for you to buy the materials. They are the money to pay the laborers to put everything together. So you want to make sure you have a lot of money in your, and I'm going to put you in air quotes, your biological bank account, so that if you are sick and you have a lot of repairing to do, your mitochondria are able to supply the, and I'm going to put you in air quotes, the money necessary to do the damage control. Like if you want to go on a shopping spree, you need to have a lot of money. Same thing with the body. You want a lot of mitochondria, a lot of biological money in order to do the things necessary in your body for you to feel your healthiest, best self yet, for you to detox, for you to heal, for you to keep up with your children, for you to sleep well, right? For you to exercise, for you to have healthy hormone balance. All these things require biological currency to happen properly and efficiently for you. If you find that you are in a deficit with mitochondrial function because they produce ATP, you're going to find everything in your body is more sluggish. Your mental acuity is sluggish. Your healing and repairing is sluggish. Your hormones are in balance because the mechanism to produce hormones is now more sluggish. So please don't overlook mitochondria. In order to do anything else in the body, you need mitochondria. You need healthy mitochondria to produce an enormous amount of ATP for your body to do the things it needs to do.
What is cool is that with these lifestyle things, you can make a difference in how well they function and create energy. And we talk about some of those mitochondrial therapeutic foods. So like your colorful fruits and vegetables, your colorful foods, those, that's like the core. One of the core things we really emphasize is getting colorful foods because those colors protect mitochondria. And there's foods that really give mitochondria those nutrients that they need to work really well. And it sounds like with mitochondria, like maybe we're just putting this into the order of healing, but there's a scientific research article that was published that said mitochondria ahead are now the target for treating diseases, that mitochondria is what should be addressed for things like Alzheimer's and dementia, for things like diabetes and even immune issues like autoimmunity, that we should actually be targeting mitochondria. And that these issues, sometimes we target like the downstream thing, but mitochondria should actually be the target. When you have a dysfunctional immune system, you need mitochondria to be able to provide the energy to like mount a healthy, normal immune response. And for our brain capacity, our brain is saturated with mitochondria. And for a healthy heart, our heart is saturated in mitochondria. So now these scientific papers are showing that mitochondria should be the target when we're addressing diseases.
I love that. And it makes so much sense.
Right.
Third, let's go into third for our order of healing. Third would be gut. And I love gut. And the gut section in the Gutsy Health Academy, when we teach it, is so enormous. And it like there's so much to it because the gut is truly like the center. I feel like it's like a centerpiece of like all the pieces out there, right? The gut, I love to think of it like the root system to a tree and your body being the tree. And if the roots, which absorb minerals and water to nourish the tree and allow it to grow, if the roots are rotting and dying, if the roots are decaying, if there's not enough healthy root system, then the tree dies itself. The tree can't absorb its vitamins and its minerals and the water necessary in order for the tree to thrive and survive. And so the tree then slowly dies. And so your gut is akin to this root system of the tree because it has to not only digest all of your vitamins and minerals and your proteins and fats and your carbs, but it has to absorb them as well. And so I love the saying, you are what you eat, but I don't, because I don't think it's accurate. You aren't what you eat. You are what you absorb. So if you have a sick digestive tract, you're not absorbing your vitamins and minerals. You're eating them, but they're going in one way and out the other way, right? And so we need to truly, truly optimize digestive health. We need to decrease inflammation in your digestion in order for so many other things in your body to survive. And going back to that home analogy, let's say your house, your body is your home and it just got wrecked, right? Something wrecked it. And so you now have one, we go to the mitochondria. So we have a lot of, we heal our mitochondrial function to have a lot of money to now go and purchase bricks and cement. Now we have to make sure your, let's go to back to the body. You have to be able to absorb is akin to the bricks and cement, because you can have all this money to buy it. But if you can't utilize it, if you can't utilize it to heal your body, then it's useless. Okay, so you have to be able to absorb your vitamins and your minerals and your proteins and your fats and your carbs in order to heal and repair the rest of your body. And so the gut is also so key to immune function, because your microbiome, and we talk about this in the Gutsy Academy, there's a whole 1.5 classes just to microbiome, where we talk about how it's like 70 to 80% of your immune system. And so if you have dysregulated immune system, that is showing up as like skin conditions or hair conditions or autoimmune or food allergies and sensitivities, you know, you have a microbiome issue that you need to rebalance. And so learning how to rebalance your microbiome, learning how important it is to balance your microbiome, learning how extremely important it is to heal up your GI tract so that you're absorbing all those vitamins and minerals and all those materials to help and repair your body is just so, so incredibly crucial. So I love gut. I love everything about gut. I mean, my whole handle is Gutsy something, right? Gutsy Mom, Gutsy Podcast, because it's a play on the word gut, because gut is so, so important. If there's anything you're going to be an expert in, make sure it's your gut, because if you have an unhealthy gut, it will break you. So make sure that you are armed with information that is empowering and it helps you know, or you're armed with information that can help you take charge of your gut health, because your gut health will make or break you.
And we also find that people do get a lot better results when with their gut issues when by focusing on mindset first, where when your body is in that state of fight or flight, it can't be in rest and digest. So often working on mindset and the connection between mind and gut, just like you gave that example, Jeanique, that when you worked on your mindset, you didn't need the digestive enzymes anymore because you got the mind and the gut. So that I think that is something that's really overlooked when people get stuck with their gut and they're like, man, my gut issues, I'm doing all these gut protocols. Why am I stuck? A lot of the time it's the mindset piece that needs to be dialed in before gut. And the mitochondria are part of the cells that heal the gut, a big part of that. And then so gut comes as number three.
What's really interesting too about the gut section in the academy that we teach is the whole first class, all about the mind-gut connection. Like it's all the anatomy and the physiology of the gut and the brain and the central nervous system and the peripheral nervous system and the enteric nervous system and all that. And so people go into great detail on why that connection is so important and why regulating your nervous system is so important for gut health. And then it gives you ways and how you can do that and how you can rehabilitate your brain in order to rehabilitate your gut. And so, yes, mindset is first, mitochondria second, gut is third. Fourth is liver. And Gina, why do we love the liver so much?
The liver definitely does not get enough love and attention. We think of just the liver as like this filter that like, oh, it's just filtering out my body. But the liver does so many things. It has so many functions in our body. And what's interesting is when we think about a detox perspective, so many people are like, I'm just going to do a detox. But what we find is that when they do a detox to support their liver and they don't address the gut first, let's say if there's constipation, the gut is what finally removes all of those toxins and the things from the body. So if you're constipated, and you do a liver detox, you skip the gut section. Now you're actually still containing those toxins in your gut and they get reabsorbed and you end up really not feeling well when you do a detox program. So when we move on to the liver and all of its amazing things, yes, one thing is detoxification. And detoxification is one thing that we really talk about is it's a very nutrient dependent process. People don't realize we need a ton of vitamins, minerals, proteins on board for detox to safely happen. If not, then we can build some reactive compounds in our bodies when we start to detox and feel really sick and then get reabsorbed and we don't end up feeling really well. So detox is just one of the many functions. Our liver also makes cholesterol, which is the building blocks of our hormones. It's a part of making the bile salts for our digestion. It stores a lot of our vitamins and minerals. It regulates our blood sugar. The liver does so much. It plays such a huge role in our healing and often gets overlooked.
It's interesting because you said the liver requires so much nutrition in order for it to function and detox safely. It also requires an enormous amount of ATP function and production.
Yes.
Right. So the mitochondria, like I think the liver has like the second highest concentration of mitochondria next to muscles in the body, right? So think of that. Like
I think if there's, I don't remember, is liver or brain? Does liver or brain have more?
So liver and brain are like almost identical.
Almost the same. Okay.
I think one is like 33% and one is like 31%.
Yeah.
Right. And so, and then muscles are like, I don't know, they're super high. But like your liver requires an enormous amount of energy in order for it to function and an enormous amount of vitamins, minerals, fats, proteins in order for it to function and detoxify and biosynthesize all the hormones, all the vitamins, all the minerals, everything that goes through your body goes through your liver. And so this is why it has to come next after gut, because if you're not absorbing your vitamins and minerals, remember, you're not what you eat, you are what you absorb. So if you're not absorbing an enormous amount of vitamins, minerals, proteins for your liver to function, your liver is going to become sluggish. It's not going to work well. And I love that, I don't love it, but you know, in mainstream medical circles, they're like, your liver doesn't need like a reset and your liver doesn't need that much support. It just works. That's like saying your house doesn't need electricity, so don't pay your electric bill. Like it's so asinine and it makes no sense to me that your liver just runs off of air, right? And good thoughts. Like it requires an enormous amount of energy, guys, an enormous amount of nutrition and vitamins and minerals.
And we were never meant to be exposed to all these things that are in our environment. Like our bodies were built to work without taking supplements. But at the same time, our bodies were not built to be exposed to all the toxins in our environment and all the stress and the burden that is placed on it, that we do need to give our liver some support.
100%. And so this is why we put it after gut, because it is so important, but it's important that it gets supported. So the gut and your mitochondria support your liver tremendously. If you try to detox, and everyone knows this, people that have gone on a detox program and have felt so completely ill and overwhelmed, you know that your liver wasn't primed for detoxification. It was underfed and undernourished, and it didn't have enough mitochondria and ATP production in order for your body to do it like effortlessly, right? And so when you do a detox, you shouldn't be in bed all day. You shouldn't be throwing up. You shouldn't be having these enormous reactions. You should be a little bit tired, maybe a little bit brain foggy, you know, taking it a little bit easy, but you shouldn't feel like your world has been turned upside down. And so for those people that have done any kind of liver detoxification or liver reset and have felt that, that's a good sign that your gut and your mitochondria need more support before you can go and put an enormous amount of stress on your liver. And so there you go. Liver is so important for all the things, all the things. One thing I mentioned, I quickly mentioned biosynthesis of all the things, biosynthesis specifically of sex hormones and hormones in general. And that's going to be important in the hormone section. So we're not there yet.
Isn't that funny that you never hear that though, when people are like, oh, I have hormone issues, they never address their liver. And it's like, they don't look upstream enough. Or when you have blood sugar issues or cardiovascular issues or anything related to cholesterol, cholesterol is that building block to sex hormones. It's ignored to look upstream. We just keep chasing the wrong thing, the wrong symptoms. So it is cool to see when people address their liver, very often things get supported and rebalanced out.
What's interesting is I just read a friend's lab report because she's feeling pain all over her body and like nobody knows what's going on. She goes to her doctor, she gets some basic lab work done, and the doctor says, oh, everything looks really great. You could probably like eat less fat here, but like you're totally fine. And I looked at her blood work and her cholesterol was a little higher, LDL. And I was like, yeah, you need a liver reset. Your liver is really struggling. And she's like, well, why didn't she tell me that? I'm like, because she's not designed to tell you that. Like she doesn't look at it as a system approach, right? Like they look at everything in its own little box and they don't see how all the boxes connect, right? And so something as simple as like seeing cholesterol being out of balance and high LDL absolutely be a liver issue, a blood sugar issue, you know? And so either way, you need to support your liver. Moving on to step, what are we at? Step four, step five?
Adrenals.
Step five,
adrenals.
Adrenals. Gina, tell everyone what the adrenals are.
I love the adrenals because they are the probably, they give us energy, they give us life, but they are probably the one thing that will age us fast or keep us youthful and healthy and young. And aging, we think of like from a just a physical perspective, like a shallow, like, oh, it's just aging, but it can either age all of our organs in our body and creating breakdown, or can keep us healthy and energized depending on its balance. And it's funny, usually I ask people like, where do you think your adrenals are located in your body? And it's one of the most important critical things for healthy aging and healthy organs. And people are like, I don't know, your throat? Like, is it by my thyroid? And that's what usually people guess. But your adrenals are like, they're like the size of two little dice right above your kidneys. They're so small, right above your kidneys. And they are responsible for regulating your body's stress response. And so it releases cortisol. You think of like cortisol, adrenaline, your whole fight or flight system. And we'd love to say that our adrenals are working just like how they should. They were designed that we are not in a state of fight or flight, that we're in rest and digesting our food. And the way that they were designed was if we were under immediate threat, we would release cortisol, we would release adrenaline, we could run from the wild animal, and then we would ideally get away from the wild animal and survive, and then cortisol resumes to normal. But now we wake up and we're like, we have texts, we have emails, we have dogs, we have kids, we have things to do, we have financial worries, we have relationship stuff. We have signs that just blink and flash at us, lights, like everything is this constant, constant, constant. So what often happens is our adrenals are just hyperactive and releasing cortisol all day. And so if you think of that, the high cortisol is being almost like, I love the analogy of like a car. When your cortisol is high, you tend to be revved up. You're like the Ferrari. You're like pedal to the metal. Cortisol's revved up. Sometimes in this state, it can feel like anxiety, but sometimes it can actually feel good. You might feel like you have energy and aliveness, but you might also feel really anxious. But that high cortisol is like, zoom, you're in the zone, almost as if you were an animal or you're running from a wild animal. The problem with being in this state is that cortisol is known as the wear and tear hormone. So it breaks down muscle mass, it breaks down bone density, it breaks down our organs, it breaks down brain tissue. They found that cortisol breaks down our hippocampus, which affects memory. And so it breaks down our muscle and our organ systems and creates that wear and tear on the body when it's high. And then it's also, you're over time, you're going to be storing fat around the midsection because you're in survival. That weight storage around the midsection, it protects the organs. It's you're adding padding to your organ systems. So with high cortisol, we tend to see like revved up, anxious, breaking down muscle mass, storing fat around the midsection, heightened cravings. You're like in this very heightened state, creating wear and tear on the body. And so it's very, very, very hard to heal a body in this state when you're in like this wear and tear breakdown state. We can't have growth and repair and healing when cortisol is creating breakdown and wear down. And so when you're in that Ferrari-like state, you're revved up, you are having breakdown. And then what happens is the adrenals can't produce that much cortisol for a lifetime. So over time, the cortisol drops more and more, and it drops a little bit more. You start to feel yourself getting tired, dependent on caffeine. This is where we get to like the slow minivan. And not like those cool sporty ones that they have now. We're talking like the older ones that are like, they're kind of struggling. They're not so cool. And you feel it and you wake up and you're like, oh, don't talk to me until I've had my caffeine. I need a 3 o'clock snack. I need caffeine again. I can't sleep at night. I have like this wired but tired feeling. I'm like wired, but I'm also sleepy. And if that progresses, you can move to stage three, which is like you're the car that is like petered out. You're like broken down. You're in exhaustion. And in this stage, caffeine doesn't even really lift you up anymore. And it's a lot more difficult to repair from a stage three when you don't have any energy. And now it's really hard to have your healing because you don't have that energy and focus. And so when that cortisol has been revved up for so long, we're putting wear and tear on the body. Also, when your body is in that fight or flight state, you're not in this place where your body feels safe to reproduce. So if your body is sensing you're in fight or flight, it's not safe to be in reproduction. So it's going to drop your sex hormones. Now, all of a sudden, it's like, why do I have hormone imbalances? Well, my cortisol is high. It drops my sex hormones. And now if you try to rebalance your sex hormones, you're pushing that rock uphill because cortisol is just too high. You're staying in a state of fight or flight.
100%. And this is why mindset, again, is number one, because if your brain is constantly signaling your adrenals to produce high amounts of cortisol, there's no way that you can balance your stress hormones and then your sex hormones, because your body will always prioritize fight or flight over, or it will always prioritize stress and protection over procreation. And so you have to get your mindset right and your lifestyle right so that naturally can balance your cortisol levels so that they're working for you in little sprints and not marathons versus the marathon of cortisol. And so when it re-regulates itself into little sprints like it was designed to do, then your sex hormones won't be hijacked anymore to produce cortisol, which leads us then into step six, which is hormones, right? Again, this is why adrenals come before hormones, because if you're high stress, high cortisol, you're not producing the amount of sex hormones that you need because your body is prioritizing the cortisol production over sex hormone production. And many people, like, they have hormone imbalances and they, like, that's their reason for going to a doctor in the first place. And the doctor will prescribe some kind of hormone or some kind of hormone replacement, like birth control or a vitamin or a supplement or something like that, without looking at all of these other things upstream, right? Are you absorbing enough vitamins and minerals in order to build hormones? Are you producing enough ATP via your mitochondria in order to produce hormones? Is your liver healthy enough to biosynthesize the hormone that is going to be produced? Are your adrenals balanced so that you're not overproducing cortisol and underproducing sex hormones? See how we can't really shortcut hormone balancing without looking at all these other steps. Hormones really can. It's one of those other things that can make or break you, kind of like the gut, kind of like everything.
Absolutely.
But like, if your hormones aren't balanced, you just don't feel like yourself. You don't have energy. You don't have like creativity or motivation. You have brain fog. You have tired body, tired brain, tired body. Like, sex hormones really do, like, they turn your dimmer switch right up or right down if they are balanced or unbalanced. And so it's one of those things that just require a lot of work in order to get them balanced.
Yeah. I didn't realize it at the time, but this was before I actually met you. I was working with a client and she was like, my hormones are all over the place. I just got off birth control. I'm like, I literally feel like I'm having a mental breakdown. Like, I'm losing my mind. My menstrual cycle is messed up. I need your help. And so what we did was we addressed her mitochondria and her liver. And 2 weeks later, she was like, this literally saved my life. Like, my period got back on track. My mood rebalanced out. I literally thought I was going crazy. I can't believe that I've been trying to fix these hormones and feeling like I'm crazy taking these hormone supplements and it's not working. But when I actually went upstream, we didn't think about it in this way because I hadn't even seen your order of healing. But for me, it made sense. I'm like, oh, we need to address your mitochondria. We need to address your liver. Those are actually big things that influence, and your stress as well, right? Your adrenals. When we address those pieces, her hormones balanced out without even addressing the hormones. And that actually happened with me. I had lost my menstrual cycle for a year and a half and I couldn't figure out what was going on with my body. And it wasn't until I addressed my adrenals that my hormones balanced out. And I was taking so many supplements like for progesterone and estrogen. And I was like trying to address the hormones because I thought that that's what I should do. But then once I discovered adrenals and how cortisol plays a role, my cortisol was so high. I did a cortisol test. it was through the roof, and it didn't change. My period came back when I lowered and rebalanced out my cortisol, and then all my other hormones naturally rebalanced.
It's interesting too, because if you go to like hormone replacement, like a lot of people will want to like take testosterone or something. It's like, well, we need to check upstream to make sure your body's going to convert and utilize testosterone properly. I know someone who did a testosterone pellet and she had migraines for like 3 months because the rest, like everything upstream wasn't really ready for that amount of hormone, right? Like you have to kind of prep the playing field for healthy hormone balance. And the playing field is healthy mitochondria, healthy cortisol, healthy liver, healthy gut, right? Healthy adrenal response. And then hormones can really balance out and do the thing which they do best, which is make you feel like you're on top of the world.
And with hormones, it's a whole body thing, right? We've had students in our Gutsy Academy who have been trying to get pregnant and struggling with infertility and doing IVF and doing hormone stuff and struggling, like, why are my hormones not on track to be able to get pregnant? And then when they do the order of healing and they address these other pieces first, we've had students who were struggling with fertility for 5+ years and then got pregnant when doing our order of healing. Incredible.
I do want to put a very realistic timeline on hormone balancing, because a lot of people think if I do the things, I'm going to have balanced hormones in like 3 months and then I'm going to get pregnant. Again, order of healing, there's an order for a reason. Let's say you start doing all the things like eating well and, you know, the things that we teach in the Gutsy Academy and we talk about on the podcast, you start implementing all those things, right? And 4 months have gone by and you come back and you say, well, it's not working because my hormones aren't balanced. My next question to you would be, well, what is your sleeping like? What is your energy like? What is your brain fog like? All the things that really reflect mitochondrial function. And the majority of people say, well, my energy is better. My brain fog is better. Mental clarity is better. And it's like, yep, that's all signs of mitochondrial function. Your body is healing from the cellular level up, and it's still kind of dealing with the mitochondrial function. It's still putting that in, like, it's still revving that up for you. We're not quite yet at the point where your body is prioritizing hormones yet, because it's prioritizing more important things like the mitochondria. It's prioritizing more important things like healing your gut lining. It's prioritizing more important things like balancing out inflammation in your body that's creating a lot of wear and tear on other organs and organ systems like your gut and your liver and your brain and any other tissue that you have, right? And so sex hormones, although we want to prioritize those first, when you start implementing healthy lifestyle changes and incorporating supplements, your body won't prioritize hormones first. It may, but the majority of people that I've seen, it won't, because you can actually live without sex hormones. You don't live comfortably. Like, you feel like you're crazy. You don't feel like you're sleeping well. You feel like you're an anxious mess or a depressed mess. So sex hormones make you thrive, but you don't need them to survive. And so your body is going to prioritize everything from the cellular level up first, kind of ending with sex hormones. And once your sex hormones kind of start to balance and they feel good again, you'll know that it's almost like this, like, oh, I've arrived. Like, my body finally caught up, right? It healed the mitochondria. It healed the gut. It healed the liver. My adrenals are doing well. Like, okay, great. Now we're in the sex hormone realm. I've hit the jackpot here. So
yeah.
Next, though, I could talk about sex hormones all day long. But last but not least is brain function. And Gina, do you want to talk a little bit about brain function and why that is seventh?
Sure. And we think about the brain as like, well, I have a long time to worry about the brain. You know, I don't have to worry about it until I'm maybe 70 or 80. And it's like dementia, Alzheimer's, those things seem so far away. And maybe while they are, they do show that early disease progression can start in our 20s and 30s. And what it can start like is when maybe you don't remember things as well, like you walk into a room and you forgot what you were getting. And these little tiny little signs, or when we start to need like a dependence on caffeine for our brain function or brain fog and quite being able to think so clear. And it's wild that our, you know, these companies will simplify brain health down to like a simple little nootropic or like a B vitamin. That's like, take this one little thing. But when we really understand what is really involved with brain health, it's like, oh my gosh, it could not be simplified. This is crazy. We cannot simplify it to this one little thing as much as we want a little supplement. But if you think about, of course, mindset is critical for health and for a healthy brain. But our brains are saturated with mitochondria. And now that is like the core. If we want to be powering up our brains and having long-lasting, sustained energy, we want to really be focusing on those mitochondria. We also know that the gut and the brain is directly connected. If our gut is creating inflammatory byproducts from an unhealthy microbiome, that's influencing the gut. Where if we have a healthy gut microbiome, it's going to be communicating with the brain, sending good, healthy messages to the brain. And detoxing is so important for keeping our brains clean and healthy. And then we get to cortisol. If cortisol is in balance, we're not breaking down brain tissue. And then, of course, our hormones. Our hormones are really important for keeping healthy brain tissue, where brain capacity is definitely affected by low estrogen, low progesterone, testosterone. So by the time we actually get to taking care of a healthy brain, if we've gone through the order of healing, we're 90% of the way there, which is really, really cool. And then from there, it's just like, what are some foods that can really keep our brains healthy? Something that I see that is hugely overlooked is the importance of omega-3 fatty acids for brain health. About 30% of the fats in our brain are made up of omega-3s, the DHA. And so if we're not eating salmon or sardines a minimum of 3 times a week, and you're not taking a supplement, you can bet that you'll have low omega-3 fatty acids. Almost when we do blood panels and we look at omega-3 levels, it's incredibly rare that someone has good omega-3 levels if they're not regularly eating salmon and sardines or supplementing. And so that's one of the biggest mistakes that I see people making is they're like, no, I don't eat salmon. I don't eat sardines. I don't take fish oil. Well, where is the 30% of those fats in your brain? Where is that coming from? And that's so important to protect our neurons and have proper signaling in our brains. So that's just one of the things that are core foundational things of a healthy brain. If you're not eating salmon or sardines, that's fine. Get your good quality fish oil supplement so you can make sure that your brain and your neurons are functioning really well. So really, really critical just to have some of these healthy foods in there, the anti-inflammatory foods. We talk about like blueberries for the brain, and there's a ton of studies that show that blueberries actually help with cognition, memory, that those anthocyanins, that beautiful blue purple color is so protective of the brain and lowering inflammation. So sometimes it's just those anti-inflammatory foods now that really play a role. And I'm sure you could speak to if there's additional issues, like if there has been issues to the brain, like concussion or any kind of trauma, where then you can even do deeper modalities and therapies for having success in actually changing things like, I would imagine, anxiety, depression, but you could speak to that a lot better than I could, some of those healing modalities.
For sure. But the reason why people need those healing modalities, let's say like someone's dealing with some kind of brain dysfunction like dementia or Alzheimer's or MS or something. If you look at that order of healing, like everything that we spoke about contributes to healthy brain function, right? And so if you have spent 20 years with low mitochondrial function, you're going to have low brain function. If you have leaky gut, you have leaky brain. And therefore, if you have inflammation in your gut, you have inflammation in your brain and wear and tear in your brain and plaque buildup in your brain. And this is, again, over years and years. If you have liver dysfunction where you are not detoxing properly, you are literally like marinating in your own junk, creating inflammation and dysfunction that is going to damage your brain or cause brain imbalances. Same thing with cortisol. High cortisol will cause a lot of dysfunction in the brain. There is a study that shows that if you have high cortisol levels, it is akin to a concussion because high cortisol levels over a long period of time damage the dendritic cells in your brain, which can mimic concussion syndrome, right? So you don't even have to be in a car accident to have brain damage. You can literally be sitting at a computer or living a very stressed life over years and create brain damage, right? And so adrenal function is really important. Healthy hormones, we know that proper testosterone and estrogen levels really help to anti-age the brain. This is why the whole order of healing is so important for brain function, because when there is brain dysfunction in like your 40s, 50s, and 60s, this is one of those things where, you know, I've spoken with Dr. Wright about it. It's like, oof, those brain imbalances are really, really hard to fix. And you need to bring out the big guns like hyperbaric and IV ozone to do a lot of damage control because there has been damage buildup from many directions over many years. And so that's why brain is kind of last, because everything prior to brain really builds up on brain health. And so it's not like, you have brain imbalances. Here, just quickly take this one supplement or quickly take this. It's like, we got to heal the whole system. We have to look at everything that contributed to the damage in the first place, to the imbalance in the first place, right? And then we have to course correct. And the chances of that course correction being a quick fix is slim to none. Like, there's never a quick fix when it comes to brain. It takes a lot of rehabilitation from a cellular level to like a full on body level to a lifestyle level to everything you can think of level, right? And so like, that's why we put brain last, just because everything builds up on it. But just because it is last does not mean it's not important. It is so, so important. Let's say you have brain issues and you've followed the order of healing and you're like, okay, where else do I go? Well, this is where this section is so important for people to understand. Here are my options. Here are now the supplements I can take to add to my brain healing protocol, because I've covered steps 1 through 6. Here are the treatments I can do to help rehabilitate my brain, because I've already checked off the boxes of steps 1 through 6. So yeah, that's the brain, you guys. And that's the order of healing, really. So again, going back to the beginning of this podcast episode, if you are working with a functional doctor or any kind of doctor or expert or nutritionist or whoever, right? And they have given you a bag full of supplements, you now get to see, okay, are these supplements just healing my liver? Are they going for my hormones? Are they addressing my mitochondria? Am I ready to address my hormones yet? Am I ready to address my liver? Am I ready? Like, why are they going to adrenals first, right? Like, shouldn't we be addressing my mindset first? Shouldn't we be addressing my mitochondria? Shouldn't we be addressing my gut first? Like, why is it that they give me all these supplements to just address liver and sex hormones, but we're not looking at all the other things? And I am bloated and I'm gassy and I'm constipated and I don't digest food well. Like, why are we not focusing there? So hopefully this episode really gives you some perspective on like how the flow of body healing works, so that when you approach your practitioners, you have now a little bit more information to empower you to help guide the healing protocol or guide the conversation and just say, you know what? I don't want to work on my hormones right now. I need you to help assist me in healing my mitochondria and my gut and my liver. Let's start there first. And let's maybe just focus on mitochondria and gut for now while I myself do personal stuff for my mindset at home. So hopefully that made sense, you guys. Gina, do you want to tell listeners about our re-enrollment for the Gutsy Health Academy that is happening at the beginning of April?
Oh, yeah. So we are opening up enrollment in April and we start May 1st. And we start with mindset. We do our mind, body, soul course first. And so we make sure that everybody, it's kind of like your on-ramp, like you're getting your mind right for healing. You're finding where you have beliefs and blocks and things that have maybe kept you stuck in the past. And then we're getting you connected to your body so that throughout the Gutsy Academy, when you're trying different things and you're doing protocols, you're like, does this actually resonate with my body? And you can actually feel, does this feel like the right thing for me? And so it's really about getting you connected to your own body. And then we also have a new practitioner this year, Christy, who's going to be teaching the soul course, which is, she's going to dive us into how do we connect with our soul and take us through that whole journey. And then when we do the Gutsy Academy, we go on this amazing 7-month journey together where we want to work directly with our students, where we're supporting them, we're teaching them all about every step of the order of healing. And it's really a way for you to be able to come work with us and get support and ask your questions, get your personal questions answered. Janique and I don't actually offer one-on-one coaching anymore. So it's a great way to be able to come with a community and get your questions answered and get guided through this order of healing on your own personal journey.
What's really wonderful and remarkable about the Academy too, like Gina said, we don't work one-on-one with people anymore, but the reason why we do open enrollment like this is because it's a cohort style where people draw really close to each other over the next few months and you go through every section together and you're all at the same pace. Even though you're having your own individual processes, we're asking the same questions about the same sections and we are utilizing each other's history and health history as kind of case studies, right? So as you are learning how to heal your body, you're learning how other people are healing their bodies as well. And I like to call it kind of like, you know how doctors do rounds where they learn about different case studies and different patients and whatnot, and they learn from those patients? Well, we're doing rounds with each other where we're seeing people's blocks, we're seeing other people's health problems, and we are collectively learning how to problem solve those problems. And so it's kind of like the Gutsy Academy rounds that we do with our Zoom calls, because when you can learn how to problem solve and logic your way through one person's issues and another person's and another person's, you start to see patterns in illness and you start to see patterns in disease. And then healing isn't so daunting anymore and it's not intimidating. It's actually really, really simple. And so that's why we designed the Academy to be that way, not to only give you the support, but to also help you to really, really understand how healing works in a group setting. And so you get to learn from each other.
And we want you to really meet your doctors to be able to show up confident, and not that you have to replace your doctor, right? They play a really important role, but that you can show up. And that's what we love about our students, is they're like, I showed up and we talked about my labs together, and I talked about what I think that I needed for my labs and for my treatments. And I was able to meet them and be like an active participant and being really confident in it.
I even love the stories. Like, we had a Gutsy Academy member last year say that she was really excited to meet with this one doctor. And the whole time the doctor was gaslighting her, was naysaying what she was saying. When she came and said, well, what about my hormones? And what about these thyroid labs? And what about these things? The doctor just dismissed everything. And she on the spot fired her doctor and knew immediately, you're not a good fit for me because you're not going to be on my team. You want to be a dictator and not a co-creator of my healing. And so she said that because of what she learned through the Academy, she had the knowledge and she had the courage to say that to her doctor and just be like, you know what? You're not the right fit for me. Like, this isn't going to work. And so I love that members and people, when they go through the Academy, they feel so empowered and they take their power back and they feel like they are a huge participant, and they're not only a huge participant in their healing, but they're the head coach too. And that's what it really should be. We should be the head coach in our healings, not our doctors, not our neighbors, not the internet, not an influencer online. It's you. You're the head coach. You call the shots. Whoever you call on your team should be taking directions from you and to help you. And so that's why we love the Academy so much.
And if you made it all the way here to the end of this over an hour long podcast, if you made it here, we do have a secret enrollment. Our enrollment doesn't start until April 1st. So we do actually have a secret enrollment that you can use a discount code to be able to get it at a special rate that you won't see it again once we open up enrollment. So just as a thank you.
So if you go to mygutsyhealth.com, if you want to join the Academy, go to mygutsyhealth.com and use the discount code podcast2024. So that's podcast2024, and you'll get $200 off the enrollment fee for the Academy, you guys. And that's it, Gina. Anything else we want to say as far as this podcast is concerned?
I think just that, you know, if you are on your journey and it's feeling a little overwhelming and confusing, just taking it one step at a time, the science makes sense. Just take it one piece at a time. And really go through the order of healing. We have seen so many people who have felt overwhelmed and not really getting the results. But when they do actually follow the steps, they're like, oh, it's okay if I stay in this step and I just focus on just my gut right now. It's okay. I'll get to everything else. And then it becomes like dominoes and it just gets easier and easier.
It truly does.
Trust the process you're in. Trust the process.
And never stop advocating for yourself. Never stop advocating for your health. You know, next week, we're going to be releasing an episode where we interview Avery, who's one of our Gutsy Academy members from last year. And she has this incredible story of Lyme and how she just get help from anyone for years until she started researching. And she was so tenacious and she just kept trying doctor after doctor after doctor until she found the right answers that she needed to heal. And so healing does happen, you guys. Like, just trust the process, trust your own intuition, trust your own knowledge, your own gut feelings, and know that there are people out there that can help you heal. But a lot of the healing is actually in your hands. And so maybe if you are going from doctor to doctor to doctor and you're not finding healing, maybe that's the universe's sign to say that you need to take your power back and realize that a lot of the healing is actually in your hands. And so utilize doctors to be teammates, but not the head coach, because you're the head coach in your healing and you always have been. You guys, thank you for listening to the Gutsy Health Podcast. As always, we hope that you have found something inspiring and empowering in this episode that can help you along your healing journey. And wherever you are in your healing journey, just know that you are not alone. And there are thousands, if not hundreds of thousands of people who have been where you are and have received answers and have healed themselves. And you are so close. Like, the end, it's near. Just keep going. And we'll catch you next week. Thank you for listening to the Gutsy Health Podcast. We hope you enjoyed and learned a lot from this episode. For more updates, follow us on Instagram @GutsyHealthPodcast.